You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field.
So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am here on a lovely Tuesday evening with none other than Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, how is life? We are coming off Thanksgiving weekend. Sounds like it was a good weekend for you.
Yeah, life is wonderful, dude. Thanksgiving was great. The whole weekend was great. And sorry for leaving you hanging, but just had a lot of shit going on. So
yeah,
that's how
it's totally
sometimes.
Cool. If you guys listened, I did the two podcasts solo last week, which is fine.
They were good too. I'm like, if I talked to myself for an hour, like it would just be the worst thing anyone's ever heard. And you did.
I just need
job.
To make sure I'm like egregiously prepared for those things, because like there's no, like I have like almost a script for myself when I do those, because it's like there's no, like there's no one else to kick it to. Like if I fuck up, like there's no one to throw it to.
Yeah, like, but if I'm not looking at you, I'm just staring at like the wall in my office. So I'm like, yeah. I have nothing to grasp right now.
Yeah but anyway, it is good to be here with you. I'm glad Thanksgiving weekend was pretty good. What the fuck did you say you're drinking again? A Thirsty Miner?
Oh yeah, it's called Thirsty Miner, and it's like some double IPA, which, you know, IPA is just not enough, so I'm doing that.
One IPA. Fuck that noise. Yeah, that's pretty good. It's I'm sure that gets you nice and toasty. I wasn't feeling like spectacular. I feel like I'm about to like get sick. And I was like, I want to drink during this podcast, but I also don't want to drink and get myself sick, because I've got like a work Christmas thing on Thursday and I need to be healthy to get fucked up at that. So I was like, I'll make myself a gigantic hot toddy and just drink it during the thing. And I realized fucking hot toddies are really bad, because I don't like the smell of whiskey, nor do I really like the taste, honestly. Like I tried to like go through that fucking period of being like, yeah, I like whiskey, I try different whiskeys and shit, and like I can't do it. So fucking like nothing brings out the smell of whiskey more than like boiling water in it. Like the steam's like rising up and like it's all you can smell, and it's terrible. So you're gonna see me cringing in the video a lot, because I'm gonna like be taking sips of it and just be hating myself. But hey,
beautiful,
we'll see how it all goes. We'll figure it all out. If you guys haven't realized yet, we're here for the Week 13 recap. That's what we normally do at the beginning of the week. We recap the week before. We're going to preview Thursday Night Football. Overall, what did you think of this week? I thought it was like fucking weird and like, I don't know. I didn't like this week outside of the Monday night game.
I actually had a lot of fun. I didn't mind. I don't know. A lot of the action, like all the games were good, but the results fantasy-wise were a little shitty. I'll put it that way. Because the games games were all pretty good. There was a lot of cool stuff happening. Like 49ers Ravens game was beautiful. I thought that was great. Like even in the rain, like it was pretty cool. As bad as the game was, like score wise, like Packers Giants fucking snow game, that was awesome. It was like the perfect amount.
Yeah, snow games are fun.
A couple upsets that sucked and like busted all of my parlays. So I guess it wasn't the greatest. Like fucking Miami winning, Redskins winning. So just very, very odd shit that I appreciated like football wise, but not gambling and fantasy wise.
Yeah. The Miami thing is, that was weird, but I also just, I love Fitz doing well. I love it.
Yeah. When he comes just like with his dick out ready to sling, like that is, you can't do much better than like a huge Ryan Fitzpatrick game.
Yeah. And spoiler alert, but in a lot of leagues, I've been like slanging Darnold for the past several weeks, which has really worked pretty well up until this week. But like his week 15 and 16 playoff matchups are not great. I'm picking up Fitz, and I'm going to win some fantasy championships on the back of Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Giants and the Bengals.
No complaints from me, dude. After that, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I'd ride that till it stops.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. Any week that Christian McCaffrey like has a floor week, I feel like I don't enjoy, but whatever.
Because he's in every single one of your lineups for daily.
Oh, yeah. He literally 100% McCaffrey and Le'Veon Bell. And, like, both of them had, like, floor weeks, basically, and just not great. The only lineup that I had that really did well was a Fitzpatrick Parker stack.
Wow. Way to be on that. Jesus Christ. That's great.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into some of the news from this past week. Breaking this morning, Ron Rivera got fired. Like, I don't know. I thought it's not like totally shocking, but it was like unexpected for me. What do you think this means going forward?
I mean, as long as like Jason Garrett and fucking Pat Shurmur have jobs, like I didn't really understand the Ron Rivera firing. Like, it's pretty weird, but I don't know. A lot of stuff changed for them this season. Like, they lost Cam, obviously. I guess that was mismanaged somewhat on the team or just by Cam himself. So I guess it's working its way from the top down, but the Panthers are just going through like a serious change right now. So I guess they're already looking forward to the future, and, you know, coming off like a horrible loss to the Redskins is pretty much as bad as it gets. So the timing, I guess, fits for that, but it just was very shocking.
Yeah. It's definitely unexpected. You know, you would have expected that to happen in the off season, I guess, if it was going to, but hey, maybe that means we get a little bit of a fuck fear Will Greer out there during the end of this season, which would be fun, because I think at this point in the season, we know that Kyle Allen, not the quarterback of the future.
Yeah, he's played, you know, okay.
Yeah, not Ron Rivera's fault that Kyle Allen can't hit guys deep, but right, whatever.
Exactly.
All right, moving on to a guy who may be the quarterback of the future for his team, Gardner Minshew, back in fucking action. Nick Foles is holstering his dick back on the sideline, and we've got Minshew back. And honestly, they seemed like they played a lot better after they did that. Foles was just horrendous in the beginning of this game, and Minshew has, you know, shown that he can sort of carry this offense a little bit, and his teammates seem like they really respond to him and like playing with him. So for whatever that's worth, that's a thing.
Yeah, and honestly, it's just like his mobility really helps, because their offensive line is not the best for pass protection. And like you said on the podcast earlier, I think in the preview where you're talking about Foles, like with lead feet, that like really shone through for the fucking, like, facing against that pass rush for the fucking for the Bucks. So once they put Minshew in there, it kind of changed the dynamic of the whole game. And if Minshew was in there from the start, it would have been a totally different game. And just Foles, as of like, he could still have success in the NFL. I think he's probably going to get traded or cut, so we could see him on a QB needy team, maybe like the Bears, and do just enough to be relevant. But it's not working on the Jags right now.
Yeah. I think, you know what, that might have been one thing that made me like a little sour on this week too, was I went into this week like basically guaranteed the playoffs in five leagues out of the six that I'm in, and the sixth one I needed to win. I was in a must-win matchup, started Nick Foles, gave me -3 points, and I lost by 7. So like, oh, I just needed 4 points out of my quarterback spot. So that kind of like soured, like that's selfish, you know, to be like, I wanted the queen sleep of just like, I made playoffs in every single fucking league that I'm in, and I'm in six of them. Like,
what a fucking brutal way to do that.
Yeah. Not ideal. Anyway, next news, a bit of injury news, I guess, but I put it in the news section for some reason. Frank Reich is hopeful that T.Y. Hilton will return this season. That he will return this season does not bode well for me. If you have Hilton, are you considering dropping him?
I'll need to see the practice reports for this week and then make a decision off that. Because, like, if he's not going to be active this week, you're probably not going to be okay with playing him. And then when he was active most recently against the Texans, like, he was on a limited snap count, didn't look right, and I don't really trust their judgment at this point with T.Y. Hilton. So I'm not totally against dropping him. I just like to see a little bit more this week and then pull the trigger. I have no problem if you want to drop him.
Fair enough. All right. And in his stead, and you know, with Ebron out as well, they're really sort of down to it in this offense. You know, it's Pascal and it's Doyle right now who are really the only two cogs, it seems like, in this pass game. So make sure those guys are owned in your leagues. Feel free to roll them out there with some confidence, I think.
Yeah, I agree. They both had really good games against the Titans because that's all they got.
Yeah. All right. Last piece of news from Instagram. You scrolled through Instagram to get it, so I'll let you break it, dude.
Oh, no. That was from Sleeperbot. It was like, this came from Instagram. So I'm like, I should probably note that just in case it's not true.
But okay.
Spencer Ware is back on the Chiefs, which is, I guess, interesting. But it's,
yeah.
I don't know. It just speaks to like how fucked they are at running back.
Yeah, I mean, I guess since we're talking about it, we'll bring up that Darrell Williams has a hamstring injury, and there's supposedly a good chance that he misses week 14. The note that I put in there is McCoy, like, they've said his work is being managed, so he's, like, fresh in the playoffs or whatever. So I was going to be like, all right, go out and pick up Darwin Thompson, because clearly he's going to get some work. But this kind of throws a wrench in that. I don't know, like, do you think they just plug in Spencer Ware right away, or do you trust Darwin Thompson at all this week?
So I don't really trust any of it. I think they're all like, you don't want any of that on your team. You don't want any of that on your roster. Like, I don't, and they're playing the Patriots this week. So I really hate the matchup. I hate what they've been doing when fully healthy, even at running back. Like, their ceilings are shot. The best games they've had are like McCoy falling into the end zone in 40 yards. So I really don't see the upside of playing a Chiefs running back as opposed to last year. So I'm going to stay away from the whole thing.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's probably the correct take. All right, moving on to some injury news. We saw Dalvin Cook leave the Monday night game with a shoulder injury. He might have been able to come back in, it seemed like, but you know, they used Madison pretty effectively. Dalvin Cook, for what it's worth, said that he will definitely be good for week 14. I don't know if I trust a player saying that on Tuesday. Over, you know, injury or practice reports and news that comes out later in the week. So, you know, if you're a Cook owner, hopefully you own Madison like I do.
Yeah, very much agreed. But like, Walsh, worst case scenario, or I guess best case would be like Cook is active, but you got to be worried that he's going to be limited. So
yeah,
you don't like, you got to play Cook even if you do have Madison, but that could fuck a lot of people over. Like, Madison could get the bulk of the work, but we just
yes,
don't.
I am like praying that Cook is just straight up inactive this week, so I can just play Madison, keep Cook on the bench. Cook gets an extra week. He comes back for week 15, and I can plug him right back in. Like, I do not want Dalvin Cook to gut through it this week. And, you know, obviously he doesn't give a fuck about what I want or what other fantasy owners want. But like, yeah, there's a very good chance that, you know, he plays, you have to play him. He's either limited or he re-aggravates the shoulder injury, because it seems like it's like he had like a chest bruise or whatever. And then like, I don't think this is like a sprain or like a strain or anything like that. I think he's just like fucked up and it hurts, you know?
Which is like the worst thing. Like, that's what Cam had on his foot, and he is out for the season. So it's just like one of those weird injuries that can't be fixed with surgery or any kind of diagnosis on like the timetable for it. So it's just a really awful situation at the worst time in the fantasy like schedule.
Yeah. What can you do?
Not much.
Yeah. Pretty much just get stressed out about it, which is what I'm currently doing. TJ Hockenson to IR with an ankle injury. I don't think this is too relevant for fantasy, but Jesse James and Logan Thomas will split the snaps behind him. If you want to play David Blau or Blow or whatever, if you want to play his tight end, his 50% snap share tight end, fucking feel free, you moron.
Yeah, no thank you.
All right, we already talked about Darrell Williams, so let's talk about Chester Rogers to IR with a fractured knee. That sounds painful. We already kind of talked about the Colts pass catching options, but just so you know, their wide receiver set right now is Pascal, Marcus Johnson, and Ashton Dolan. It's just Pascal for me.
Yeah, very much agreed, dude. And I think you can roll him out there too, especially if you're like someone who owns T.Y. Hilton and you haven't like if you have bench room. And I don't really think it's going to be like a priority for other people, but if you're in a pinch, like, you can play Pascal this week.
Yeah, that I think that's pretty fair. Our boy Hoop Daddy Austin Hooper is back at practice. Is he? Do you know if he's expected to come back this week?
It's pointing in the right direction so far. I'll just keep, you know, monitoring the practice logs, and if he is active, he is on your roster.
Yeah, and like,
or in your lineup, sorry.
He might have been dropped, you know, like, just depending on how impatient someone was or how desperate to make the playoffs. someone was. So, you know, keep an eye out there. He's definitely a guy who needs to be owned and started.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kalen Ballage on IR with a leg injury, which means we are looking at a two-headed backfield of Patrick Laird and Miles Gaskin. Do you trust Patrick Laird?
I do not. I mean, he got the bulk of the run, but they're not a good rushing team, and I am not plugging in a Dolphins running back during the fantasy playoffs.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, for what it's worth, he had 10 carries and 5 yards on those 10 carries.
Maybe it's not like Ballage's fault. Like the way like those stats are all lining up. Like I just don't even know like what they're doing for.
I think the thing that makes Laird a bit more interesting is his use in the pass game. You know, in 2 out of the past 3 weeks, he's had 5 or more targets. Not a guy that I would be like, all right, we need to play him this week. But interesting, I think probably should be owned. You know, and me and you mentioned it before, they do have good matchups in week 15 and 16. So if we get an encouraging week 14 performance out of him, he's a guy that I might be willing to roll in week 15 if you are desperate, which if you made it to week 15 and are still alive, you're probably not desperate. But
yeah, that's what I'm leaning towards too. So it's something you don't need to do.
All right, fair enough. Let's see. Baker, it looks like he went in for x-rays on his throwing hand at halftime, but he did come back in and finish the game. Everything that I've heard says he's expected to play. For what it's worth, he played like shit after he went into the locker room. So I'm pretty sure after starting the game very, very well, he went like 1 for 10 over like his next several throws after hitting his hand there. So maybe something to keep an eye on, like maybe something – I don't know. Like, do you downgrade Baker for this?
I mean, they do play the Bengals, but I don't know. It just seems like he's in a low upside situation with, like, one, the injury, and then two, if the Browns are smart at all, they're going to run the ball 60 times on the Bengals, which the Jets probably should have done last week, but just didn't. So
Le'Veon Bell kind of sucks this year.
I think that's all Gase's fault.
That offensive line is also fucking trash too, though, so who knows?
It's just an awful situation for all parties, but yeah, I lean more on Gase. Like, how do you, like, even against the Bengals, like, that's just inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, I saw, you know, a tweet, and I forget who pointed all of this out, but I did see a tweet this morning talking about how, like, Ryan Tannehill's balling out, Devontae Parker's balling out, Kenyon Drake is balling out, like, all these guys who just spent like the beginning of their careers looking absolutely terrible under Adam Gase are great right now. So, you know, you don't want to make too many assumptions, but when, you know, a bunch of arrows are all pointing in the same direction, it's a little hard to not connect the dots there.
Yeah. I mean, Adam Gase sucks. what else do you have to like see out of that?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to tiptoe around saying that, but you are correct. Gase sucks.
You've said way worse things about Adam Gase than tiptoeing around saying he sucks.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I should probably just embrace it. All right. Greg Olson. Was that what we were on? Why am I completely...
Well, we were talking about Baker, and then it quickly shifted.
How did we get onto Adam Gase from that?
So, because I said... If the Browns are smart next, I was saying Baker's upside is cap next week because they will run it a million times against the Bengals.
Oh, which the Jets should have done, but Adam Gase sucks. Okay, right. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about Baker and his weapons then against the Bengals. So it seems like you're very in on Chubb based on that diagnosis.
Big time. Yeah. Chubb, Hunt, like just they're going to run it so much and they really have to, especially if Baker's banged up. Like you don't want to be out there throwing it a million times. I think Jarvis is still fine. Just because the volume's been there, the rapport is there. And then Odell, surprisingly, I put this in weak shit. Well, not surprisingly, he's just had a bad year, but 6 straight games with less than 100 yards. That's just... It's not good at all.
And yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah, very. And then it's just, you know, Baker needs, I think, high volume to be pretty relevant for, like, to be a streamer. But, yeah, it just seems like his upside is capped this week.
All right. I like that take. I think that makes a lot of sense. Now let's move to Greg Olsen, who got knocked the fuck out and left the game. I have not heard any word in terms of his status right now. Have you heard anything?
No, but he got ear-holed and just kind of dropped. So I guess, I mean, the situation there is pretty rough. Like Ian Thomas, who's, you know, been mentioned before in the last couple of years when Olsen's not able to go. Does he enter streamer territory? I mean, it doesn't take much, but at this point, do you risk it if you were rocking Olsen?
I don't know what their matchup is, but I feel like there have to be better options out there.
I mean, they're playing the Falcons this week.
Huh.
And Cook just kind of went off against them again on Thanksgiving. So matchup's not bad, but it's just, do you want to roll with Ian Thomas?
Yeah, and he really did. He actually did get, I think, four targets like in that game after Olsen went out. So, I mean, they showed the willingness to go right to him. I'd have to think about it more and look deeper into, you know, what other potential streamers have for a situation, what kind of matchups there are. But I don't hate the Ian Thomas call right off the bat. I don't think it's like the worst thing that you could do.
All right.
All right. And then the last injury we want to talk about here, Jamal Adams, the safety for the Jets, has an ankle injury, might miss next week. You know, that would just make us more confident in playing quarterbacks and wide receivers against the Jets, which I think we already were pretty confident about.
Yeah, Fitz and Parker. You can roll the stack out again.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. God, I'm going to start him the next 3 weeks, aren't I?
Good for you, man.
Or do you like, do I roll Darnold one more week against Miami, or do I take the Fitz end of that matchup? This is tough.
That reminds me of Don's situation last week. Who did he have? They're playing in the same game. Oh, my God. I can't remember.
Oh, it was Darnold and Dalton? No.
Darnold and Carr, and he played Carr.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And the Jets smoked the Raiders.
Yeah, that did not work.
Hmm. That's a tough one, man. I don't know what I would do. So I think, actually, yeah, I just talked myself in. I think I would go Fitz, just because you know he's going to be slinging the entire time regardless.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning as well. And then also the other thing with that is I can make the pickup like a week before it's really needed, because week 15 and 16 are where Darnold falls off, right? So, or his matchups fall off. Right. So I think by making the Fitz pickup this week, I'm jumping the gun by 1 week on something that I really need to do. And then ensuring that I have Fitz for the two games that I really want him for.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. Beautiful strategy.
All right. Let's move on to some cool shit. We were just talking about it. The Dolphins offense is fantasy relevant all of a sudden. Devontae Parker's bawling the fuck out. I don't think we really need to talk about him that much. You know, he had 10 targets, 7 catches, 158 yards, and 2 touchdowns, right? Was that?
Yeah, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're still on the Dolphins, like Gesicki too.
Yeah, dude, Gesicki's an every week start right now, because we just talked about it. Their schedule is good the rest of the fantasy season. Gesicki looks good, and he's getting the second most targets on that team behind Parker. So they're both pretty easy starts for me for the entire rest of the season.
Yeah, it's insane how quickly that flipped. I think it was like week 6 or 7. All of a sudden, Dolphins became like playable.
Yeah.
Pretty much Parker, Preston Williams, and then unfortunately, Preston Williams goes down, and that shifted over to Mike Gesicki, like, you know, upping the target share there. So it's all working out for them so far.
Yeah, I think what was happening beforehand was sort of the same sort of work was flowing between those three guys, and it was causing like two of them at a time to be playable. And now you've literally just got those two getting the same amount of work. Like, no one stepped up. Allen Hurns is getting some work, but like no one really stepped up and took Preston Williams' role. So it's kind of gotten given to Gesicki and Parker on top of the roles that they already had. Yeah, there you have it. Hopefully it continues this way, because right now this is a really easy offense to predict and a really easy offense to play. The Bengals won, dude. Talk to me about it.
I was so happy, dude. I was so excited. And what was great was Redskins won, Dolphins won. So they got like that buffer. So they still have first pick and they won a fucking game, so they won't be in the history books as like
the Giants are sneakily kind of fighting their way for that number one pick too.
I was just about to say that because all right. I have like a Zodiac, like pinpointing fucking crazy person murder pinwall, like on my, like, how can we get the first pick and still win a game and look decent? Like, and this is pretty much what I had in mind. But then when I saw the Redskins in Miami win, it made me realize the Giants have been fucking terrible and under the radar because no one was talking about them whatsoever. It was always Bengals, Dolphins, and Skins. And out of nowhere, they're in like the second spot already. But it's cool still because if they get the first pick, they got to go Chase Young, right?
Yeah, they're going to take Chase Young. And then exactly. the Bengals still get Joe Burrow. So
I was also screaming at a coworker, actually this morning at lunch. One, I'm a psychopath. And two, they were saying that like they're going to trade the first pick. I'm like, dude, no one is going to pay up for that. It's so hard to do both ways. Like you don't want to give up Chase Young. And what are you going to get in return for that? It's going to be like a whole mishmash of garbage. Just a lot of first round, too much exchange going on. So like yeah. they take Chase Young, it's the easy thing, and then Burrow write it too.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows what the Giants like coach and GM situation is like after this season, but like, do you really think like Gettleman's gonna be like savvy enough to get like a good fucking return on like a first pick? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
There's no chance that guy is like properly evaluating what that pick is worth. And like his expectations for what he's going to get back are going to be like ridiculous. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Joe Burrow is going to be a very coveted player, but like, I don't think anyone's going to be trading up to the first pick to get him.
Yeah. Even the second, like I was just thinking like Chip Kelly could not trade up to two to get Mariota. Like,
yeah,
that speaks volumes about how hard it is to get in the top three.
And somehow the Bears managed to do it to get fucking Trubisky.
and what did you learn? Like, it's just so tough to do, man.
Yeah.
Also, I think if that, like, Giants first pick, Bengals second pick, I think is best case because it saves the Bengals from themselves. Because I don't even trust the Bengals if they have one to not take Chase Young and just extend Andy Dalton. I'm like, no.
Yeah, you got to take Burrows there. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about a little bit about Dalton and then his targets going forward. Boyd and Tate were both pretty relevant. I mean, Boyd particularly led the team in targets, got in the end zone. That was nice to see. Auden Tate did like Auden Tate shit where I think was like, what, like four catches for 60-something yards, something like that.
And again, his catches all highlight reel. Like they're just 50-50. They're awesome.
Here's the thing, though. He has all these 50-50 catches because the guy can't fucking separate from a defensive back. Like, yeah, he's great.
He gets it done. I love it.
Yeah, he does, like, he makes all these insane catches, and it's like, man, you are just never open.
Like, he doesn't need to be, dude. He's the best.
And then John Ross is being activated from IR this week. Now, they said they're going to, you know, ease him in, that he will have a role this week. We'll see what that means. But I'm kind of licking my chops about John Ross in week 16 against the Dolphins, like, having a full-time role. Is that like me getting way too cute?
That is pretty wild. Like, I would love to see the roster that is playing John Ross like on a team.
I'll do it. I'm a dick with these things. I'll fucking do it.
You really love the glory plays. Like, I that is going to blow up in your face. Like that.
Yeah.
That is not a good move at all.
I'll do it in the Brick League where if I make the fucking championship where my wide receivers are ass anyway. I'm pretty sure I started Auden Tate this week. So that, like,
just reminded me you played Johnny Manziel and got your ass booted
from
the playoffs.
Yeah, I did.
You piece of shit.
I won another league with Johnny Manziel that year at quarterback. The rest of my team was good enough, so whatever.
That is disgusting.
All right. Yeah, I'm probably getting a little bit too cute with that John Ross play. What is this stuff about the Adam Rank prophecy? What are you talking about there?
Dude, that's the thing I sent you. So NFL Network does like the everybody predicts everybody's schedule and does the win-loss thing. Adam Rank has absolutely nailed the Bengals. Like, he predicted their first win because he had them fucking
preseason?
That was preseason.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's why I sent it to you guys, and you're like, never send me Adam Rank shit again. I'm like, I'm sorry, but like,
yeah, I didn't even look at it.
Oh, dude, he completely has laid out the entire Bengals season.
Wow.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're gonna lose to the Browns, but they win. Let me check. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, but I just thought that was interesting. He nailed.
Yeah, nailed
the first win.
That is pretty wild. All right, moving on to the Jets. I feel like we've done a lot of talking about the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bengals on this podcast.
All great teams.
Robbie Anderson has led the Jets in targets and yards for the second straight week. Crowder kind of took a back seat here. Is Robbie Anderson back? Is he the guy to play? Like, do you trust this at all?
So Robbie Anderson kind of does like that thing where it's just like the late season bloom, kind of like Derrick Henry, like the last couple of years. But I'm not going to trust it. It's so hard to do. Like you to plug him into your lineup. Like, it's a great matchup against Miami. I thought it was, you know, earlier in the season too, and he only wound up with like 33 yards.
Crowder put up like 24 points in that game.
Right. Like, he could easily have a good game, but it's just so nerve wracking to throw that guy in there. And like, it's just like everything that I hate to see. Like, it's, you know, everything that goes against, like, statistically he should be fine, but it's chasing points and you haven't used him, you know, in a couple of weeks, and you bring him into your team and it's playoffs and he's bound to fuck you. I'm very scared.
Yeah, I am also very scared of it. Not a play that I'm trying to make, but he honestly might be a guy who's still on waivers, like, in a league. He got dropped in a lot of places.
Yeah.
So again, if you're desperate and he's on waivers, like, it could be worse, but yeah, not a guy I'm actively trying to play. Darius Geis, and just the Redskins running game in general really exploded in this game. You know, I talked about it last week with the Panthers already had a terrible run defense, and then they lost on Tari Poe, who was the third highest graded interior run defender by Pro Football Focus. And it looked like it, because their already horrible run defense gave up 170 yards to Darius Geis and then another 90 some odd yards to Adrian Peterson. You know, you can explain that away a little bit with the matchup, but they get another run funnel defense this week with the Packers. I think I'm going right back to Darius Geis.
I was going to say, like, you can pick the bones and just be like, they only got like 10, I think. Yeah, Geis did this all on 10 carries, and Adrian Peterson did it on 15. But like, they're going to have the same success against the Packers. Like, they're pretty much identical to the Panthers in like the amount of points they give up fantasy wise, and let's just like rushing yards per game. So it's almost identical matchups, and like, Geis looks amazing. Like, he looks very good, pretty much what people wanted when they've been like, you know, taking him. They're relatively in the mid round, like, I was gonna say early, but like kind of like fourth, fifth round. But he looks good, especially for like next year. I'm very excited to have a healthy Geis.
Yeah, hopefully that fucker can stay healthy, because he's looked great when he's been there. Another explosion week in, I guess the game was in Arizona, but for the Rams, Jared Goff went nuts. 19 targets for Robert Woods. He had a huge game. Tyler Higbee had his huge game as Arizona tight ends against Arizona tend to. Cooper Kupp got in the end zone. Todd Gurley had a great game. Brandon Cooks is not involved. So what do you make of this Rams team? Do you buy this bounce back?
No. It was a really good, like, get-right game for them. They did everything right, and it just proved that, like, Cooks is droppable. I think you said that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But it seemed outlandish at the time, but my God, dude, the guys, I don't know how many targets he had, 3, 4, just not doing anything. So Woods seems to be their, I don't want to say number one, but I guess it flips between him and Kupp. Kupp has really fallen off. Like, he got in the end zone, but it's just been not the explosion we saw like in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had 6 targets. You know, I don't have any evidence that, like, I've looked at the film and been like, this is why this is happening.
I can't tell either.
My guess would be, like, teams are keying on Kupp, you know? Like, he was unstoppable for a several-week period, so other teams were probably just like, hey, we got to stop this guy. And now that's leaving open guys like Robert Woods.
Also, to that point, like, they could be keying on Cooks just because he's so fucking fast and can take the top off, and that's why Woods is having success, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cooks thing is really just the offensive line sucks and he's not getting time to get downfield. But, you know, it could be a combination of a lot of things, certainly. You know, for perspective here, they play the Seahawks and the Cowboys the next 2 weeks. Like, those are both pretty decent matchups. You know, when they play the 49ers in week 16, I'm not going to want to be playing any of them. But I don't know. I'm not rolling out Jared Goff, but I think, like, Woods you can trust. I think Kupp you can trust. I think Gurley you can trust for the next 2 weeks at least.
Yeah, I'm with that. I think you stay with those guys. Just Woods and Kupp and Gurley, those three.
All right, fair enough. Arizona, with Higbee getting his big week against Arizona, the Arizona tight end theory is really going to get put to the test this week because they get
Vance McDonald.
They get Vance McDonald and Duck Hodges chucking him the ball. So
I would play him.
I don't know if I'm going to fucking chase that, but
are you kidding me, dude? The only one who's really fallen short was like Tyler Eifert and CJ Uzama, who get like 0.5 target share from the Bengals. So
yeah,
that's really the only tandem that had a bad game against the Cardinals.
Yeah. I don't know. I got to look more at it, but I'm not enthused. but
would you play, anyway. All right, Ian Thomas or Vance McDonald?
Oh God. I haven't looked at McDonald's target numbers from this past week.
They're not good.
Yeah, I would lean Ian Thomas, dude. Like, I don't want to play Vance McDonald with Duck Hodges at the fucking helm. I got fooled into playing Vance McDonald or into, like, thinking he was an okay play a couple weeks ago.
Was that the bagel game?
Yeah. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, you don't get fooled twice, or whatever the George Bush quote is. but yeah, I don't know. I'm being biased here for sure, but also, like, I'm not. It's like Vance McDonald and the Pittsburgh Steelers offense sucks ass. So I don't know. We'll see. The Niners-Ravens game, we kind of talked about this, but big fight feel. It was, you know, a tough, like, hard fought game for sure. George Kittle had very few points. That made me upset. But very, very
now I'm
game.
Really seeing why you hated this week.
Yeah, dude. I own Kittle in like every fucking league.
All your guys did bad. All your guys did bad. Or
I didn't win. I didn't win a single game.
No wonder you're being grumpy, dude. This week was great. I had a really fun time. I also won, but
it's crazy how those two things might be correlated.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see the pattern, but this game was great. I don't know. They really pumped up. Like, I know there's no way to get around it, but like future Super Bowl, how many times has that actually happened? But it was fun to see the two best records like meeting. So I really enjoyed it. And I want to say they're almost identical teams, like, I know, outside of like Jimmy G compared to Lamar Jackson, which is obviously the X factor. So I just really enjoyed this as like a football game. Like, I kind of stopped caring about fantasy for like till 1-4, like watching this game.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. That one, I mean, Lamar didn't break anything big, but like he was still effective in the ground game. He got over 100 yards. And that one run where he just juked the guy and like he went like sliding by him and just falls over. Oh my God, dude.
Awesome.
He's so good. He's so fun to watch. All right, let's move on to the Panthers wide receivers. Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore both had great weeks. This is kind of what it's been, though. Like, DJ Moore is a certified stud at this point. Like, that guy's an every week start. Curtis Samuel is a guy who, when he gets in the end zone, like, then he's a good start. And when he doesn't, then he's not.
Yeah, that is a very fair take. I just liked how, you know, we're always, like, crunching the numbers and trying to figure out who's going to have the good game. It's just good to see them both, you know. There was no wrong answer this week.
Yeah, definitely. That's absolutely true. DJ Moore actually fourth in the league in receptions among all receivers. First is obviously Michael Thomas. Third is Chris Godwin. Guess who's second?
I don't know.
Christian McCaffrey.
Wow. I'm an idiot.
Anyway, last thing of cool shit that we want to talk about. Courtland Sutton fucking balls out, dude.
Yeah, he is. Oh, my God, dude. Like, now I've, like, reached that point in the season where I'm thinking about next year already, and it's, like, all going to change, but it's just, like, I'm already thinking, like, he's going to be, like, late second, third round-ish, and he's just fucking great, and it's kind of really high praise, but, like, almost DeAndre Hopkins, like, where he's doing it with whatever fucking quarterback he has.
Yeah, I mean, he went from Joe Flacco to Brandon Allen to now Drew Lock, who looked, like, okay, you know, he looked fine.
Gave, like, probably John Elway got a rod watching him, like, oh, yeah, finally something works.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, Courtland Sutton's just really, really fucking good, and he is fun to watch, and I'm excited to keep watching him for hopefully a long time.
Yeah, very good wide receiver.
Side note on the Broncos, the Noah Fant experiment is over. Jeff Heuerman is back and played the majority of the snaps. Drop Noah Fant.
So you'll play Vance McDonald over him?
Oh, fuck you.
Just say yes, dude.
I want to look at it more.
I caught you. I got you.
I'm not saying yes.
I'm not saying no.
That's true. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We will be back with weak shit, whack-ass backfields in the Thursday night preview. We'll be back in just a minute.
Have you thought about trying sports betting but aren't sure how it'll go? Our friends at FanDuel are giving away a $50 sign-up bonus at letstalkfantasyfootball.com/FanDuel-sportsbook.
Welcome back, guys. We are here for the second half. We're going to go through some weak shit, some whack-ass backfields, and the Thursday night preview. So Vinny, weak shit. The Bucks fantasy points all went to O.J. Howard and Brashad Perryman. That's fucking sweet.
And Peyton Barber.
Oh, yeah, him too. That's right. Yeah, what do you make of this? Is this like...
Throw it away. Like... It's just like an unfortunate thing. Like they had a decent matchup. Everything seemed like Ronald Jones was the dude. Mike Evans and Godwin, obviously you're playing. Like it's just everything was there and it just all of a sudden wasn't. Even Jameis didn't have like a great game. Like he put up like 13, 14 points. So it was a shit show.
Yeah, the quote from Bruce Arians was, I believe, Rojo missed a blitz pickup. And when you miss a pickup, you don't play no more. It's like, I get it, but like, God
I'm starting
damn.
To hate Bruce Arians. I really liked him. And I don't even have like Ronald Jones. I just think the thing is he's like, he made OJ Howard a non-factor. They should have not like the most dangerous passing attack in the league, which they kind of already had with just like Evans and Godwin. But like, how do you not implement OJ Howard into your game plan at all?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a dickhead.
It's a bizarre team, and I mean, any team with Jameis is always a bizarre up and down team because that's the way that Jameis is. But hopefully we get back to at least a little bit of predictability. I am not playing Ronald Jones anymore unless I have to.
Yeah, see, I think like, yeah, you can't. It just ruins the whole thing.
Yeah. All right, the Raiders, complete fucking frauds. And... We kind of knew that because their point differential was still really terrible, even though they were playing really well. And like, I look at things like that and I'm like, huh, I think the Raiders might be frauds. And then like the fan in me is like, no, like they're playing good. Like they're doing well. They just need to keep doing what they're doing. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, oh no, they just lost back-to-back games by 31 points. And one of them was to the Jets who just gave the Bengals their first win in week 13. Fuck, dude. Like, I mean, Josh Jacobs is reportedly playing with a fractured shoulder.
Yeah, that's correct.
And he's still playing pretty well is the thing. Like, he hasn't fucked you if you've been playing him. Darren Waller, it was nice to see him sort of come back here. And I think that's going to be kind of the theme going forward is Waller is the guy that you can use. Jacobs is still a guy that you can use. I'm not using a single other Raider the rest of the season.
I was going to say, like, the Renfro out for the season thing really didn't do anything for Tyrell Williams, like, whatsoever.
No, and Tyrell really hasn't done much for, like, a long time. So I think it's about time to put that to bed.
That was also one of those things where he was like low targets, high production, and you didn't want to believe the obvious regression coming. So I guess we were just kind of enjoying the Raiders run there a little too much.
Yeah. What can you do? Yep. They I don't know. They just cut Trevor Davis today, which they traded a sixth round draft pick for him earlier this season. Which like is not like a crazy thing,
but good
teams don't trade don't trade draft picks for guys and then cut them 8 weeks later. Like good teams don't make those kind of mistakes, you know?
Yeah.
It's I don't know, it's frustrating and I'm gonna keep getting frustrated with it. But oh well. Let's move on to Saquon Barkley. Is he gonna hit a ceiling this year or is that just not gonna happen?
I don't think so, man. He came back way too early. Way too early. And just like has not looked good. Pat Shurmur's too bad of a coach to sit him down and just be like, look, dude, you're our franchise right now. You can't be doing this. And that was supposed to happen, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. Obviously, they're just like, oh, you're back? Sweet. Ruin everything. Like, you're not playing well. You're not getting the offense moving. Like, he's still out there trying to be Saquon, but he's just not healthy, dude. He's not. They should shut him down, and it's just – it's kind of getting sad at this point, and his ceiling is totally capped and he's not getting any passing work. Like it's just very, I don't know. It's very odd to see. And they're doing kind of like the ruined David Johnson years, like kind of thing where they run him up the gut a lot. And it's just like, that's not what he does. Get him outside, involve him in the passing game. And you're seeing none of that. So you're still playing him, but it's just kind of a lost year for him.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it. You know, they get the Eagles next week. So that's a bad matchup. They do have the Dolphins and the Redskins the 2 weeks after that, weeks 15 and 16. I like those. Like, you know, you would, if you're a Saquon owner, you're hoping that he really gets it going there. I traded Nick Chubb and Chris Godwin for him in one league because of that matchup. So hopefully he picks it up a little bit. We'll see. And I think concurrently we can kind of ask is Alvin Kamara going to have a ceiling game? Because he hasn't hit his ceiling since week 3 when he got 2 touchdowns. The guy has no touchdowns since then.
I do feel like a Kamara game is coming. I thought it was going to come on Thanksgiving, but it
didn't. Yeah, I thought it was this week.
Yeah.
I thought it was last week too.
But at least we can say like it's going to come. Like with Saquon, I'm like probably not. You know, it's just – it's tough to see. And like, I just think Kamara is way more involved in the Saints offense when Sean Payton is ready to do that. It's very, I don't know. Like, how do you not use that guy? It's just, sometimes it blows my mind, but I do feel like a Kamara ceiling game is coming. If I was feeling it this week, I feel it in my bones again, Walsh. It's coming.
All right. I'm going to put my trust in you, I think there. All right. We talked about some streamers that were good plays that didn't work out. You know, Foles, Darnold, I think we talked about them already. But the Eagles D and the Panthers D also really, really fucked you. The Eagles D, like I'm pretty sure in the preview, I said the Eagles D is good now. You can trust them. And then they did that.
Yeah. I had the Patriots D and the Eagles D. And I did the Eagles D over Patriots D. Only the difference of a point because they both sucked, but just watching the Eagles give up points like on ridiculous bombs to Parker, I was just like, what the fuck is happening? And I was just like, ah, it's a Fitz game. I should know better. But really, I shouldn't. It was a good play, and sometimes just those matchups just don't work. Same thing with the Panthers. Like, you got, like, taken by the Redskins. Like, that's just –
yeah,
I
think the Panthers we should put on ice until further notice because, like – their run defense was already bad, and now without Dontari Poe, it's to the point where like the Redskins can hang 250 yards rushing on you. Like, I think the Panthers are not playable on the Panthers defense. I mean, is not playable until further notice.
Yeah, at least with the Eagles, you can still like I would say hold strong on them because they play the Giants this week on Monday night. They still have a good line. And, you know, a great pass rush. So they're still going to make things happen. I wouldn't fall off them. I wouldn't drop them or try to stream someone else. Like, I would hold tight on that one.
Yeah, for sure. Danny Dimes has 10 fumbles and 11 interceptions this year. Like,
I think it was Scott Hansen when, like, he's playing bad. He calls him Danny Loose Change. Like, I think he said he, I don't know. I just enjoyed that one.
Yeah, that is funny. All right. I would counter that this next one is not weak shit, but Rashad Penny. And I would say it's not because him and Carson both produced in this game. They're splitting the snaps about 50-50, but let's see. I wrote it down. Carson had 23 carries for 102 yards and a touchdown, threw in one catch on two targets, and then Penny had 15 carries for 74 yards and a touchdown, threw in four catches for 33 yards and another touchdown on five targets. So I would argue that these guys are both pretty usable going forward because we thought this was a bad running back matchup for them, and dude, they both crushed.
This is a trap.
I'm falling into it.
Yeah, this is a Pete Carroll trap, dude. He's making you think that Rashad Penny is playable. He's not. I would say just Chris Carson, you trust, do not get cute with Rashad Penny.
I'm going to do it.
That is gonna fuck you. I will say that right now. Like, Rashad Penny will fuck a lot of people. If you're in a pinch, I don't have a problem with that. But, like, if you're actively trying to play Rashad Penny, don't do that.
They play the Rams. They play the Panthers in 2 weeks. We just talked about how you can run up their asses and out of their mouths. Like, and then they play the Cardinals the week after that. Fuck you. I'm playing Rashad Penny.
It's a trap, dude. The good matchups make it. Dude, no way. Absolutely not. It's Chris Carson games. Blow up massive games. Rashad Penny, no. The only thing that I had a problem with fantasy-wise, Chris Carson's obviously a great dude. He subbed himself out for a goal line carry so Rashad Penny could take it in. What a nice guy, and definitely fucked over a lot of people.
Yeah, 100% correct there.
Like, he's an awesome dude, great player, and just a little too nice there.
Yeah, I will say they clearly do still trust him because he was icing the game away at the end of it. It wasn't Penny in there getting those carries. Like, when they needed to just run down the clock, it was still Carson. And, like, I made a note of it because I was like, huh. His issue this year has been fumbling, and they're clearly confident enough in him still to where they were okay with it.
So towards the end of that game, I was thinking the same thing, and then Booger very loudly through my TV just goes, you know, they really still don't trust Chris Carson, you know, because with those fumbling issues, I'm like, does he realize Chris Carson is in the game right now with 2 minutes left?
Yeah, that's the opposite of what the game is saying to us. That's not a hard message to parse, but... Whatever. Booger, he's not the best.
He's something else.
I am to the point of...
I've almost flipped as well, if you're going to say
I ironically like him now. And I'm pretty sure before long it's going to switch, like everything else in my life, to an ironic appreciation of him.
Yep.
It's how we started liking Kesha and Carly Rae Jepsen and shit.
And then being oh, wait, this is really awesome.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm saying is Booger McFarlane is the Kesha of football announcers.
Which is dead on. That is absolutely dead on. And I listen to him and I'm just like, this is fucking garbage. And then he just says something and I just start laughing. I don't know. It is what it is. Booger's probably not going anywhere, which is very surprising.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is his second year. I feel like they would have canned him after 1 year if they were going to. And, he still gets the feature spot on SVP's SportsCenter after the game every single week.
And, just the buzz, from Twitter, social media, everyone talking shit. They're still talking about Monday Night Football on ESPN. So, it's just – they're just no bad press. I mean, no press is bad press.
Yeah, I figure if I'm going to have to watch him every week, there's no point in getting mad at him. I might as well just enjoy it for what it is.
Which is why I don't understand people that hate Chris Collinsworth. How do you not love that guy?
Yeah, he's the greatest. He's the best ever. Anyway, we've gotten off topic. Let's we talked a little bit. Do you think we should just skip over Odell? He's been...
Yeah,
we talked on it before.
This one was interesting, though. This one kind of bothered me. I mean, I don't own too much... we're going to touch on it was right before whack-ass backfield. Should we just
Yeah, sure. Let's move right into whack-ass backfields.
Beautiful.
And we'll start with the Packers. Go for it, man.
So, this is from JJ, Zacharyson.
Yeah. Yes.
I practiced saying that in the mirror a couple times. Did I do good?
Yeah, I did great. He's of FanDuel and NumberFire. Great fantasy resource if
he is awesome. Write
or listen to him.
I love him. Yeah, so he compared we're doing the Packers running backs, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, who have been like incredibly awesome and also like incredibly inconsistent. So the last 4 weeks for Aaron Jones, RB 45, RB 3, RB 48, RB 39, and then Jamal Williams, who's been a little more consistent, or at least you know what you're getting from him, like a solid flex spot, which is RB 12, RB 35, RB 12 again, and then RB 25. I don't know what the fuck you do with that. Like, it's so awful because you're playing Aaron Jones and then you're scared to play Jamal Williams.
Yeah, and I mean, this week too, like, Jones was in a little bit more. He got some more targets, but he still finished significantly behind Williams in points. He didn't look particularly good. He also, I think he got some bad variants. He got stuffed inside the 1 yard line twice, and he also had a touchdown called back by penalty. So, like, I don't know. If those things happen, like, we're talking about a very different day in terms of the perception of Aaron Jones, but that's been his whole thing. During his stretch where he was like seeming like an elite running back, he was getting multiple touchdowns a game. Like, he hasn't really been a guy who when he's not scoring, he's still playable. So he worries me because Williams is, I don't want to say he's been the better back, but like,
no,
he's been good.
Aaron Jones is more talented. But I guess you could say that Jamal Williams has been the better pure running back.
And I think in the pass game, he's clearly been a better pass game option.
Jamal Williams?
Yeah. I think he's looked a lot better in the pass
game. I think they throw more to Williams, but Aaron Jones in space, like, that is something that they really should work more into. Because when they have done that in the past, like, it's just always worked, and I don't know why they don't do it more.
Yeah. I mean, so if we're trying to put it down to like brass tacks here, like, are you sitting either of these guys going forward?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Jones, you can't afford to. And then Williams, like I said earlier, like, I'm a little scared to play him, but if you've been kind of teetering on it, I guess you could do a lot worse, especially if he's like your RB2.
Yeah. Next 3 weeks, Redskins, Bears, Vikings. I don't think you're sitting either of them.
Yeah. Not bad. Like, the Bears look scary on paper, but they've been gashed. Panthers, hilarious. Did you say Panthers?
No, Redskins, Bears, and Vikings.
Yeah, Redskins are hilarious. You can put that.
Yeah. So I guess just keep on rolling and hope for the best there, pretty much. Moving on to the Colts. We all thought Jonathan Williams was, the guy or whatever, and he is not. So Jordan Wilkins, it turns out, ended up playing 44% of the snaps. I was going to say Hines Ward. Nyheim Hines got 43%. And then Jonathan Williams only in on 22%. All of them were peripherally involved in terms of like the running and passing work. Wilkins led in both attempts and targets with 11 and 3. Like, this just sucks and you can't play any of them, right?
I agree. And then, like, you have the looming, you know, Marlon Mack coming back. So, I don't know. It's, yeah, I would be very scared. Like, I'm playing Jamal Williams over any of these guys,
obviously. Yeah, yeah, 100%. I think you play both Packers running backs over all of these guys, like, with no questions asked.
I would also play Rashad Penny, who I kind of just said I was scared of before, over any of these guys. And then, obviously, Mack just coming back into the situation, if he comes back earlier than expected, just wrench right and everything. So just keep monitoring stuff and just be very, very wary of playing these fellas.
If Mac comes back while, you know, the fantasy season is still going, is he an auto play in his first week back for him, or are you afraid of them easing him in?
I would be very scared, especially with the way they handled like T.Y. Hilton. So I would be I know you're in that situation. You have other options though. Like, all right, let's say Dalvin Cook is active. This is very specific to you, pretty much. Dalvin Cook is active. Marlon Mack is active this week. Would you consider benching Mack for Madison and just go double Vikings? Because they're playing the Lions.
I think I would, honestly.
I mean, you limit your upside incredibly, but you also take out like the risk of Mack being eased in and then also being in a timeshare with every single one of these backs we just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I think this week particularly, they you know, specifically, they play the Bucs, the Colts do. So, like, fuck that matchup for running backs.
True.
I would certainly play – I think I would go double Vikings there.
Yeah. Also, any matchup that's rough against the rush makes Nyheim Hines the more preferred play, which is awful. Like, you don't want to do that. So,
yeah,
that kind of limits, you know, just everything going on in that backfield.
Yeah, and the next 2 weeks they go Bucks, Saints. Those are both bad matchups that you don't want to play the running backs in. And then they go Panthers.
So you hold Mac.
So you hold Mac weekend. And you hope he plays week 16 and you plug that fucker in to run it down the Panthers' throat.
And then out their ass.
And then out their ass. Right. Sorry, that was like, a pretty – that was a pretty graphic way of putting that, wasn't it?
Well, you had said it before, up their ass and out their mouth. So then I was like, I'm gonna do a callback, but it was reversed, so my brain had to think for a couple extra seconds. I was like, and out their ass.
There you go. Well, it worked.
Somehow more brutal.
we're bringing in literary callbacks to our podcast. That happened like 10 minutes ago. Yeah. All right. Let's move on from the Colts. We already talked about the Seahawks, so we'll go to the Patriots. This is a pretty easy one. This was just kind of like a fuck it, throw it out game, right, with James White?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, most of his yards came in garbage time, especially like the lazy tackling from the Texans. Like, they were not trying to stop him whatsoever.
Zelda's going nuts over there, huh?
She is. Laura just got home. I was trying to not bring attention to that, but she's going nuts.
Sorry, what were you saying about the Patriots?
I don't even remember now. No, just like the James White shit. Garbage yeah. time, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he played 78% of the snaps there, but I mean, they were down that whole game, which was awesome. But they were down that whole game, and they weren't really getting anything going in terms of the wide receivers outside of Edelman. I think you're right. This happens from time to time. I don't think we should expect it. Do you think there's any merit to hoping it'll happen again with this matchup against the Chiefs coming up?
I don't know. I just have a, like, in a weird way, like, I expect the Patriots offense to be not great. Like, they've done nothing to kind of improve, even against like a soft Chiefs defense. So I think they will be playing, you know, from behind a decent amount of this game. And it just makes me think that White could potentially see the same sort of workload again. But I'm not willing to risk, like, even my flex spot on that. Like, it's not something that I want to put my playoffs on the line for. Like, a big blow-up game that happened once this season on James White.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Unless you've been rolling James White, in which case you probably didn't make the playoffs, then, like, It's probably not worth it. I mean, if you're in like a consolation bracket or whatever, like, fuck it, who cares? Do crazy things.
Exactly.
Fucking, I don't know.
Play Andy Dalton and
yeah.
And John Ross.
Yeah, exactly. Like, do weird shit. It's fine. It doesn't matter. but that's the most fun about being in like a consolation bracket to me is like, for me, it's like picking up Mitchell Trubisky and Anthony Miller and being like, I am going to try to beat you with the Bears, you know. it's like that kind of shit that like gets me still interested.
Fantasy is so fun when it's just like, you don't care.
Yeah.
I'm doing this and this. It's like making a no shame, like, daily lineup. It's just like, I'm gonna fucking kill you with this.
Yeah, exactly. I looked up the Patriots schedule. They play the Bills in week 16. God, if the Bills go into Foxborough and beat them and like win the division, that would be so fucking cool. But that's neither here nor there for fantasy purposes. Let's get back to whack-ass backfields. The Niners. Raheem Mostert clearly asserted the top role here. I do have the snap percentages and stats. 74% of the snaps for Mostert. He got 19 carries for 146 yards and a touchdown to go along with 2 targets, 2 catches, 8 yards. Tevin Coleman, only 5 carries for 6 yards on 18% of the snaps. This is something I feel like we could have seen coming because Coleman has just been absolute ass since that four touchdown game.
So they start the game with him every time and just he gets five carries and does nothing with them. Looks like the worst back they have. And I think it's kind of ringing true. And honestly, Shanahan will just go with whatever person is doing well. And it has not been Tevin Coleman in a long time.
Yeah. So I think the number one takeaway from this is stop playing Tevin Coleman. But I think the other takeaways we need to think about is it worth it to start playing Raheem Mostert? And then if not, is Breda a guy who you can kind of start? Because I'll own up. I dropped Breda a lot of places where I owned him because of the uncertainty of this backfield and you know, the fact that he was running behind Tevin Coleman and the uncertainty of the injury. But like Breda before the injury was running behind Coleman and ahead of Mostert. So I know Mostert has been good, but wouldn't it make sense for Breda to come back and just kind of take this top dog role from Raheem Mostert?
My head hurts. But I don't think everything you said makes sense. It's just like Kyle Shanahan just flips it all on its head during the game. So I don't think you can bank on really any of these guys. And they also play the Saints this week.
Okay.
Matchup. It's at the Dome, which is awful. Like they're playing another away game. I'm terrified to play any of them.
Yeah, I think that's probably the correct take. I think I'm trying to get way too deep into the weeds when the answer is just don't play these guys.
Yeah, like it's kind of one of those hands off. Like they have a great rushing attack. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, how the fuck am I going to guess which one of these guys is like? It could totally go back to Tevin Coleman having a great game. It's whoever is doing well early. Kyle Shanahan's like, you're the guy, and then he'll just feed you.
All right, fair enough. Moving to our last backfield here, the Cardinals. Chase Edmonds was back this week, supposedly. He did not play a snap. Kenyon Drake still got 80% of the snaps. David Johnson got 23%, was hardly used. Are you trusting Drake or like, is this just mutable every single week and could change?
I think it changes. And also they play the Steelers. So it's just
no good.
Yeah. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good.
All right, fair enough. I don't disagree with you. So let's move right to the Thursday night game. We have the Dallas Cowboys at the Chicago Bears. This is a fun one to text people about because you can use the cowboy emoji and the bear emoji when talking about it.
I didn't even think about that element.
I was making dinner plans with people for like after
do you want to watch Cowboys?
After like my work event or whatever where I'm gonna get drunk. But I was like, yeah, should we watch and just put like Cowboys versus and like the bear emoji? And I was like, hey, this is funny. Anyway, that's how my stupid brain works. Dallas is a 3-point favorite. The over-under here is 42.5. So we're really not expecting a ton of combined scoring. See, for me, I think there are very few plays here that really get elevated over what your normal projection would be. I think the only one is Zeke. I really, really like in this matchup.
I do still like Cooper as long as he's cool from that nasty hit he took at the end of that game on Thanksgiving. Because I think the Bears are very susceptible to like big play wide receivers. Or not even big play, just like bigger wide receivers that run on the outside. Like they had a tough time with Galladay. They had a tough time with Marvin Jones, both on Thanksgiving with a fucking backup quarterback. Oh my God, dude. I think Dak could get the ball to Cooper like big time and have a great game.
Yeah, sorry. Let me clarify. I still like Dak. I still like Cooper. I still like Gallup. I think the only guy I'm upgrading over how I would normally rank them from week to week is Zeke, if that makes sense.
So, just because of the matchup. I totally missed your point. Holy shit.
No. I think you upgrade Zeke, and I think he's like a borderline elite play against this Bears defense that's been really getting gashed by running backs. And the rest of those guys, I think you roll like you normally would.
So is this Zeke blow up game?
Sorry, you broke up there for a second.
My bad. Is this Zeke's blow up game?
I think it might be. I mean, I see no reason for it not to be. The Bears have sucked against running backs since Akeem Hicks went down. We've talked about it a million times. So I'm in on. I mean, Pollard also missed practice with a leg injury today too. So like we're looking at Zeke getting potentially 90%+ of the snaps in a plus matchup where they are favored. Like, give me it.
All right. I don't hate it. I'm just worried. Actually, no. I'm more worried about Dak in the cold weather. Like, I still think Cooper's going to have a great game, but I'm worried about his passing. Not volume. I think he'll have enough, but just, like, consistency, I think, in the weather. So that actually helps your Zeke argument big time because I think they will run it a ton.
Yeah, I mean, I if I'm the Cowboys, you know, Dak has historically struggled away from Jerry World. Yeah, if I'm them, the way I'm approaching this game is I'm going to run it down their fucking throats because I just paid this guy $90 million and let's see what he's worth, you know?
Like also, the division is on the fucking line every single week for anybody in the NFC East. So
yeah.
They really need to get this win and they will need to get it on the back of Z.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go there. On the Chicago side of the ball, again, I think you'd like – this matchup doesn't scare me against the Cowboys. I know it's a low projected point total. Trubisky has quietly been fantasy relevant like the past several weeks. Are you tempted?
Oh, to play Trubisky? No.
You're telling me to shut up.
I am. Just shut your fucking face.
I've played Trubisky stacks on DraftKings the past 2 weeks, and I've made money off of them, so fuck you.
That's pretty sweet. I will never tell you to shut up on daily, but for fantasy, like – week to week, fuck off. No fucking way. The time to do that was Thanksgiving against the Lions, which obviously had a great game. But yeah, I don't know against the Cowboys. Like, I have more faith in Allen Robinson having a bounce back game and doing really well just because it's a tougher matchup on paper than Trubisky being like a quarterback that's going to score over 18 points.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like Robinson this week. I think that's, you know, I like Robinson every week, but I think he's in a good spot here.
Hasn't had like a good week in a little bit, but
yeah,
I think he does better in bad matchups.
Yeah, he's a guy. I mean, I would assume he's going to get fed this week, and I mean, like the two outside cornerbacks, like Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara, like they're better when the Bears are getting a ton of pressure. I'm not like worried about them. And Amukamara might miss this week because it's a short week and he's got an injury. So like all of that, I think helps Robinson. Buster Screen in the slot fucking sucks. And Allen Robinson goes into the slot sometime.
Anthony Miller.
Yeah. Anthony Miller, I think, is like a solid play.
Yeah.
Like
Buster Screen is absolute garbage. And he got destroyed by Cole Beasley.
And I mean, Taylor Gabriel is like going to miss this game.
I'm mixing up every single Thanksgiving game. Dude, I'm sorry. I was just
saying. Oh, no, you're good.
I am all over the place right now. But, yeah, slot is very susceptible. Again, like anytime Buster Screen is there, like Anthony Miller could definitely take advantage of that.
Yeah, and I mean, Taylor Gabriel is likely going to miss again in the concussion protocol. Javon Wims is their other wide receiver, and I got cute and tried to play him instead of Anthony Miller and Daly on DraftKings, and that did not fucking work. So Javon Wims is a guy who's going to be out there on the field. He's not going to absorb a lot of targets. You know, their tight ends are all hurt. Like, they're still down to Jesper Horsted, who, despite his awesome name and touchdown, only had one target last week. So do not – I know it's tempting with the name. When you see the name Jesper Horsted on your waiver wire, you're like, fuck, I got to pick that guy up. But please don't do it.
Why wouldn't you with, like, the team you're building over this whole podcast?
Just my team of risky, stupid plays that will not work. I do love that name, though. That's a fucking great name.
It is really badass.
The last guy we need to, or I guess the last two guys we need to talk about are Montgomery and Cohen. I think I'm, like, in on Montgomery in general. And then, like, I think you can maybe use Cohen in PPR as, like, a desperation flex type play.
Scared of both. I'd probably, like, Jonathan Williams beats both those guys out. Or no, not Jonathan Williams. I'm sorry. Jamal Williams.
Right. Yeah. I'd, well, maybe not on Montgomery. I don't know. Montgomery's like,
I would go Jamal Williams over him.
Yeah, you know, I think I probably would too. Against the Redskins, yeah. Yeah,
also, here's the real test, at least for me. Would you play any Niners back over him?
No. Would you?
No, I think that's where I'm drawing the line because it's just too muddled there. So I think I would play Montgomery with at least like a volume upside and, I don't know, like a middle of the road matchup.
If Breda misses again, I'd play Mostert over him.
Fair, but this is also Thursday night, so you have to make the decision like relatively quickly. And
right. Yeah.
Breda's been a dude that just comes back, and I'm surprised he's missed the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's been like a fucking Iron Man the past couple of years.
Yeah, but like when he was missing, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, like is he must be on like death's door because the guy last year it was like Matt Breda is doubtful with like a shoulder injury, an ankle injury, and also a knee injury, and he's just out there getting like 80 yards and two catches.
Meanwhile, I'm playing Alfred Morris with my thumb in my ass.
Oh man. Yeah, I guess that kind of sums up where we are on Montgomery. Who you got in this game?
After much deliberation, Bears.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bears too. Fuck the Cowboys, dude. I fucking hate the Cowboys.
I hate the NFC East. I hate every single one of them.
Yeah, that's fair. I kind of like the Eagles, but I don't know.
Why? What have they done?
That Super Bowl run was cool.
It was really cool. I meant like this year.
Yeah, I don't know. But it is what it is.
Redskins aren't out.
If Dwayne Haskins makes the playoffs, that is the
I'll kind of be happy because I'm not a huge fan of like – watching any of these teams play right now.
I'll be happy in the sense of like I love watching the world burn happy. but that's about it. All right, you got anything else for the people before we let them go?
Dude, good fucking luck. If you're getting into the playoffs this week or trying to get into playoffs or you're in and trying to win, good luck. This is everything we've worked for. And now we're here.
Yeah, seriously. If you guys have questions, please reach out to us. We will try to answer them. Vinny and I both have some interesting playoff matchups and you know starts of playoffs and those sorts of things. So it's going to be a hell of a week. Hopefully, you guys have a successful week. If you do, we want to hear about it. It was fun. For Vinny, for Let's Talk Fantasy Football, I am Walsh. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.